Let's just pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please do sit down. A highlight of this past week for me was going to see the musical Fiddler on the Roof. It tells the story of a Jewish community in a small town in Russia at the start of the 20th century. And we see the harshness and the poverty of their lives encapsulated in the most famous song in the musical, If I Were a Rich Man. And we journey with them as the father and mother long for their five daughters to find good marriages, some marriages that will give them security for the future. One of the many themes in that musical is the danger that the Jewish community lived under at that time. There is a dark backdrop of anti-Semitism and the threat of random and unprovoked violence against their way of life. Ultimately, an edict is passed by the Russian authorities and the community is broken up. They're forced to leave the village that they live in, and we see them going off in different directions, some to America, some to Jerusalem, their promised land, and perhaps most poignantly, some to Poland and other parts of Europe where, in the decades ahead, the horrors of the Holocaust await them. The picture of the Jewish community on the move is, of course, one that echoes down the ages. It's their history. And our reading from James refers to the great patriarch, Abraham. He was the first of God's people to leave his homeland and journey to foreign lands. We read in chapter 12 of how Abraham obeyed God's command to go from his country and his kindred and to go to a land that God would show him. And there are many stories in the Old Testament that tell of the subsequent journeys of the Israelites into Egypt, through the wilderness, their exile to Babylon, and their return to Jerusalem. This sense of leaving the land of your birth and travelling to new lands will have strong resonances for many people here this morning. How many people in church today were born outside of Great Britain? Put your hands up if you were born outside of Great Britain. More than a smattering, a good number of hands going up. The call to be a pilgrim people is one that is central to the identity of the Christian church. We're called to go out from where we are, to leave our comfort zone, and to participate in the work that God is calling us to do. And the root of this instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples comes at the end of Matthew's gospel. It's where Jesus commissioned the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them and to teach them to obey all of Jesus' commands. So what does this going forth and making disciples look like for us in East Greenwich? What does it mean to be an evangelizing community, spreading the gospel in 21st century London? Well, to help us think about this, I've drawn five principles or pictures from today's reading and out of the Lent book that we're following in our Connect groups and in our sermon series, The Joy of the Gospel. Picture one is this: we're not doing this on our own. When Jesus tells us to go and make disciples, this is not something that he's sending us out to do by ourselves. The word go actually means, or it can be better translated, as to travel, this sense of journey. And in his commissioning, he reminds his disciples that he is always with them. And so rather than some intimidating picture of us having to go out by ourselves and face a hostile world telling them about our faith, perhaps a better picture is one of us on a journey with Christ. I find it more helpful to think of it more as a picture of come with me on the journey. And it's Christ who is always the initiator of bringing someone to faith. He is the great evangelizer. The responsibility does not lie with us. What we're called to do is to be on that journey with him, attentive to how we might best play our role. Picture two. What we do is often more important than what we say. As we think about the role of the evangelizing church, it's not a question of what we, it's more a question of what we do as a church than what we say or proclaim. This is what James is emphasizing in his letter when he writes about faith and works. Unless our faith is backed up by works, then of what value is our faith? We demonstrate that we have faith when we put what we say it means to be a follower of Jesus into action. Picture three. We're called to be an outward-facing church, called to the needs of others. As a church community, we're not to be consumed by our own affairs and concerns, but a community that looks to the concerns and issues of others. We're called to reach out, particularly to the poor and needy. Each one of us has gifts and talents that we can bring to further God's work. And our social justice projects that we have here are at the forefront of what we do, opening our doors to our community. Tomorrow night, we have the last night of the winter shelter. On Wednesday, our legal advice clinic will be meeting here. And on Thursday, the food bank, welcoming those with particular needs in our community. And implicitly, rather than necessarily overtly, we're sharing something of God's love and the joy of the gospel as we minister in diverse and significant ways to those who come in. These are the characteristics of an outward-facing church. Picture four, we are to be innovative and creative. Pope Francis, whose exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, lies behind the book that we're following, says this: pastoral ministry in a missionary key seeks to abandon the complacent attitude that says, we have always done it this way. At the start of Fiddler on the Roof, there's a song called Tradition that tells of the traditional roles of the father, the mother, sons, and daughters in the Jewish family. Tradition is terribly important to them and their way of life. And yet, throughout the musical, events occur, particularly as the daughters look to marry men who are not their parents' first choice, that challenge those traditions. Their challenges to the traditional roles in the family and in the community. And the characters struggle with these challenges, and they have to confront them. In the church, too, we should be ready to adopt new and creative ways of being. Ways that will welcome in the outsider and will make the church a place where God's Spirit can flow unhindered by unhelpful structures or attitudes. The fifth and final picture. A bruised and hurting church is following in Jesus' footsteps. It's walking the journey that he calls us on. If we are to take seriously the message of the gospel, then we have to take seriously the path to the cross that Christ trod. It means that we're called to sacrifice and service, and that can be tough. As Pope Francis put it, I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security. The paradox of the Christian life is that when we're bruised and hurting, when we've walked the path of helping others at a cost to ourselves, it's then that we can experience the true joy of the gospel. So let us not fear being a bruised and hurting church. Let us look to be innovative and creative and not bound by tradition. Let us be outward facing and not inward looking. Let us focus on what we do so that we truly back up what we say. And let us be encouraged that we do not go out on this journey alone. Every step of the way, wherever it may lead, however hard it may be, Jesus is with us to the end of the age. Amen.